Good morning, church. Okay, today we'll talk about Christian fellowship. So please turn your Bibles to first to Psalm 133. So we'll basically focus on two parts of the Bible, so Psalm 133 and then Acts chapter 2. So it's a very short psalm. Psalm 133. It's a psalm of David. He said, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, down up the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, and thank you for the opportunity to gather here and to worship you together and to read the Bible together. Lord, we pray that you open our minds and our hearts to receive your word. And pray that you grant us the understanding and insight into your word so that we may obey you, so that we may walk with you, and we may love our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this Psalm 133 was written by King David about 3,000 years ago. He said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers live together in unity." And what a beautiful picture, and what a wonderful scene that is seldom seen in this world. Well, most of you know loneliness. Loneliness is a complex and it's an unpleasant emotional experience. And it's a response to isolation. Many people seek fellowship with other people and they are afraid of to be alone. And many people feel a lack of connection or communication with people. Many people are driven by the loneliness and to seek the company of other people. As a matter of fact, loneliness is a subjective experience. Well, the point is, why is a subjective experience if a person say or if a person thinks I'm alone, then he is alone. Even though at that moment he is surrounded by many people, maybe he is even talking to many people, but he thinks he is alone. He experiences loneliness. Well, on the other hand, we know conflicts takes place when people come together. So conflicts are found everywhere in this world. Conflicts arise within families and may lead family violence and divorce. And conflicts arise at workplaces and may cause productivity. And conflicts arise between ethnic groups and may lead civil wars. And also conflicts arise between states and result in significant loss of human life. But in 2017, there were four major wars, and each war caused at least 10,000 deaths. So war in Afghanistan caused about 14,000 lives. Civil war in Iraq caused 13,000 deaths. a Mexican drug war caused almost 15,000 deaths. And Syria civil war caused 39,000 deaths. Well, besides these four major wars, there are also 14 ongoing wars and conflicts in Africa as well as in Asia. So each of them cost at least 10,000 lives in 2017, within 1 year. Well, this is the reality of this world and this, or human society in this world. So King David said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." What a beautiful picture when brothers dwell all together in unity, not only not quarreling with each other, not only not making wars with one another, not only as a means of overcoming their social isolation, not only as a means of releasing from their suffering from loneliness, but delighting in each other with a common faith and promoting each other their welfare through mutual services. And what a peaceful picture that was also anticipated by King David. So last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and Stephen shared the sermon, and now we are also reminded that the coming of Holy Spirit on the Pentecost, and we are reminded also the great sermon preached by Peter that was in Acts chapter 2. And I just read the last part of his sermon. So Peter said in Acts chapter 2, when he has to explain to the fellow believer or fellow Jews about what has happened to the people when the Holy Spirit came. And Peter said, in the last part of his sermon, he said, "This Jesus God raised up, and for that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted and at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." And Peter said, "For David did not ascend into heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified.'" So what had happened to those people who heard this sermon? The Bible says those who received his word were baptized. And there were added on that day about 3,000 souls. Now please look at Acts chapter 2 verse 42. And that's another passage we are looking at. So Acts chapter 2 verse 42. "And they..." Basically, those 3,000 people, "they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. What King David was anticipating in his time has become true after the coming of the Holy Spirit. All believers joined together in truth. They were of all one mind in truth. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. All believers joined together in fellowship. They were all of one heart and one affection. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. All believers joined together in duty. They devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. Well, today we will focus on the Christian fellowship. In other words, Christian community. Communion. We will reflect on the meaning of Christian fellowship, the benefits of Christian fellowship, and also some implications. First, having fellowship with one another means we share a common faith and a common salvation. In the epistle of 2 Peter, Peter said, he said the letter was written to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with the apostles. Well, he's not using the same word, but it's a faith equal standing with our faith. Our faith means apostles' faith. And in Epistle to Titus, Paul also said, to Titus, my true child in the common faith. In the Epistle of Judah, Judah also said, beloved, although I was eager to write you about our common salvation. So the foundation is the common faith and a common foundation. And that's the foundation for Christian fellowship. And here you don't see the difference. You can't say like strong believers or weak believers, and you don't distinguish the strong and the weak, but rather you see the common faith in Christ. And the second point is, having fellowship with one another means we are called by God to embrace His love, the love of Christ which binds us together in a perfect harmony. Well, Paul said, as God's chosen ones, as God's holy and beloved ones, you shall put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Well, he said, above all, put on love. The love which binds everything in the perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. So we are called in one body, which is the body of Christ, the church. And be thankful. So the point is, it is God who called us to come together. It's not our own desire to be connected to the people, but it's God calling that. He called us to come together, and it is also God who is able to help us and to forgive each other and to enjoy the peace of Christ that rules our hearts. So the third point is the Christian fellowship It's not only the fellowship with other believers, it's not only that, but also the fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John said that which was from beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, and we proclaim to you as well, so that you too may have fellowship with us. So the fellowship with the apostles. And John said, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the fundamental difference between the Christian fellowship and other communities or organizations is that our fellowship is indeed with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to have fellowship with the Father and the Son? And we have to, also look at other part of the Bible, so to understand the fellowship with the Son and with the Father. Come back to what Peter said in his letters. He said, His divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness. So basically, the divine power of God has granted us everything we need for life and godliness. Through what? Through the knowledge of Christ, who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted us His precious and very great promises, so that through them, through His promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful nature. Having fellowship with the Father and with the Son indicates that we have been made partaker of His divine nature. So it tells us that this fellowship is a transforming experience. It's an assimilating character. In this fellowship, you become actually partakers with the Father and the Son in nature and in counsel. It is partnership. The partnership means the Father and the Son take you into partnership with them. It is impossible for us to come to such a place in an active way, for instance, by our own wisdom, our own efforts, our own morality, our own good deeds. It is only possible for us to come to such a place in a passive way, which means we may become partakers of the divine nature through His promise. Well, since Christian fellowship is indeed with the Father and with the Son, it means that the eternal life which is already with the Father, with the Son, has been manifest in our lives through the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in you and in me. Paul said, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Concerning the eternal life, and Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So here we can see the eternal life does not start on the day of our physical death, but starts at the moment when we believe in Jesus, when we put our hope in Him. The eternal life is manifested through the dwelling of Holy Spirit in the believers. Having fellowship with the Father and with the Son means, as children, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of the God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back in fears, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So this verse basically brings us to the next point of the fellowship. Christian fellowship is also about we share in Christ's suffering. And as apostle, Paul has afflicted. I mean, he has many afflictions, sufferings because of the gospel. And well, he said, we apostles share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for you, for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. So our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Now, having laid the foundation of the Christian fellowship, and now let us explore what we are supposed to do when we come together, and what are the things that should be taken care of for Christian fellowship. So one of the primary goals is that the Word of God, Word of Christ, dwell in our hearts richly through the Christian fellowship. Well, it implies that the study of the Bible is very important, it's crucial for a healthy Christian fellowship. And Paul said, let the Word of God, the Word of Christ, dwell richly in our hearts. We give thanks, we sing hymns, spiritual songs, and we admonish one another in love and in truth. And he said, what then, brothers, when you come together? Each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. And it also implies that the worship the worship of the Lord together is also crucial for Christian fellowship. So I'm not only talking about the fellowship in the Sunday service, but also the fellowship, you know, with other believers, even in a very small group, two or three. Paul said, let us address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And here again is that the word of God dwells in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Having fellowship with one another means we take every opportunity to encourage one another in faith, to build up one another, and let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor, his fellow believer. And now listen to what Job's friends, in the Old Testament, Job's friends said to Job. And they said, behold, you have instructed many, and you have strengthened the weak hands, and your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble knees. And that we are supposed to do when we come together. And we are supposed to strengthen the weak brothers, the brothers who the faith is probably weak, and the understanding of the Bible and the knowledge of Christ is not yet firm, and that we are supposed to strengthen them, strengthen their faith. And in Romans, Paul said, we who are strong, if you think you are strong believers, we who are strong have obligation to bear with the failures, the failings of the weak. So the strong believers have an obligation to help the weak and not to blame ourselves, and that each of us please his neighbor for his good, build him up. And in Hebrews, and it says the same thing, so let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the day of the coming of Christ. So next point is, having fellowship with one another means we must no longer be pretending to be good people, to be righteous people, but rather confess we are sinners. Confess we have committed sins against God, against man. In James, in the book of James, there's one passage. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of most German know who he is. So he said in his book, Life Together, he says, it may be that Christians, even though in corporate worship, in common prayers, and all their fellowship in service, they may still be left to their loneliness. The final breakthrough to fellowship does not occur because though they have fellowship with one another as believers, as devout people, but they do not have fellowship as undevout, as sinners. So the point is, we are called to have fellowship with one another, not to conceal our sins from other people, and not to hide ourselves from the fellowship, but to confess our sins and to one another. Because we can hide nothing from God, and we are miserable sinners, but we have received mercy from God, and that is the truth of the gospel. It is in this truth that his church is supposed to live. In this truth, despite we are sinners and we receive mercy from God. And therefore, God gave his followers also the authority to hear the confession of sins. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Having fellowship with one another also means there is going to be forgiveness of our sins, there is going to be the healing among us, the healing of our hearts, healing of our heavily laden souls, and the healing of our physical sicknesses. And James said, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Having fellowship with one another means practicing hospitality. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, and contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. If you want to show hospitality to other believers, you can open your home, invite them, and spend time with your fellow believers. You can even open a home group for regular Bible studies. Having fellowship with one another and with the Father and the Son means we are called to share the joy of the Father and the Son from everlasting to everlasting. It means we are called to enter a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. When Jesus sent 72 disciples for their mission, and those disciples came back, they were very, very happy with gladness. They rejoiced what they have done in their mission. And Jesus told them not to rejoice in all the great miracles you have performed in my name. He said, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Brothers and sisters, it is not by our own wisdom that we have come to the knowledge of Christ. The fact that Jesus is God's only begotten Son was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And we rejoice because we are saved by grace of God. And John said, I rejoice greatly when the brother came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy to hear that my children are walking in the truth. He said, this is a message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And that's why Paul said, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, and you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So, brother and sister, the final point in the Christian fellowship is having fellowship with God, having fellowship with one another, with other believers, means we have to walk in the light. We have to walk in the truth. We have to love one another. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And indeed, our fellowship is with you, Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would enable us to walk in the truth and walk in the light, and help us to be sensitive to your guidance and to your direction, as indeed we are led by your Spirit. And help us, this church, help this congregation to grow and to show hospitality and to have fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.